Guys, it's a great day to be alive. Happy Easter to you and yours, and happy opening day 2015 Eve. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Tyler Berry. To my left, and my only left for today, Drew Willers.
Thanks for listening, guys. Happy Easter.
So we've got a lot to talk about today. Yeah, it's just me and Drew. We're big baseball fans. Our other host and our other yet-to-be-announced host are not big MLB fans, so you will see them, hear them, not see them, because we don't have video of this.
Yet.
You will hear them back here on Wednesday when we discuss all of the happenings of the results of the Final Four. So make sure you listen to that. But first, keep listening to this, because we've got a lot to talk about today.
We absolutely have a lot to talk about
today. I, for one, am super excited for the baseball season to be upon us. After the amazingness that was the postseason of 2014,
it was a really good postseason.
That
was probably, that was best I've watched at least since, the Subway Series was back in 2001. We were 11 years old.
Yep.
That was a pretty darn good series.
I remember watching that one
and that one being really good. But the cool part about, and the cool part about where we are with baseball now is the great part of last year's series. Both teams didn't win 90 games. They weren't superpowers in the regular season. And the Royals, who through 3 months of the season were mediocre. They were like 48 and, you know,
they were mediocre until after the All-Star break.
Absolutely.
Really.
You can play 3 months of mediocre baseball. You're only one good now in baseball, you're one good run away from winning it all, or at least getting yourself in a position where you can compete and win it all. So turnaround is really, really quick. That makes the puts a huge emphasis on the offseason. But yeah, I really like it because I think we're really seeing teams learning how to invest in players instead of just spending money on players. I think I feel like the superpower teams, the teams of, like, I mean, if you just look at, like, look
like
at the
early 2000 Yankees.
You look at the 2012 Marlins, all the money they spent. The 2014 Yankees, all the money they spent. Like, it's just insane. Like, and it just goes to show you that team chemistry and just honestly solid pitching is going to take you way farther than spending money on big bats.
There's no question, especially this day and age.
Absolutely.
A lot of people can hit the ball. You don't need necessarily one. You don't need a Barry Bonds type player necessarily to win it all. And you're more likely to win it all if you take what you'd spend on a Barry Bonds type player or a Giancarlo Stanton, to use someone who's actually relevant in baseball right now. If you take that money and parlay it into a solid pitcher, like maybe a solid reliever and maybe two decent guys who can get on base, that is proven, at least recently, to be a better use of your money than...
I mean, at the end of the day, you look at the numbers, Major League Baseball hitters are hitting so much less than they ever have. Batting averages last year, I think the average MLB, like, the batting average last year was right around, like, .250 for most teams.
Yeah.
And you look at what teams are doing to suffocate big offenses, and what they're doing is guess what the average number of pitchers were used in a Major League Baseball game last year? Average number of pitchers used in a game by a team.
3.4.
7.9 pitches are used in an average by a team. That's what you're doing. You're starting to suffocate teams this way by bringing in big arms and doing much less damage with long starting pitchers. You do have guys that eat innings that take up 6-7 innings.
Your Clayton Kershaw.
Absolutely. But what do you do? Like, you can't, like, I mean, you can do what the Nationals are doing and try to get a big ass rotation together and put all your money in that. And that seems to be working out. But most other teams don't have the money and the resources to do that. Your San Francisco Giants, and even more so, your Kansas City Royals. What really made the Royals great down the stretch was their bullpen. Mm-hmm. Like, they had a lot of really, really good pitchers coming out of their bullpen that really allowed to suffocate the big offense, the really big offenses in the AL Central, and just the AL in general. So
and that goes to show you their bullpen was the polar opposite of the White Sox bullpen, which was one of the worst in the league. 21 blown saves last year, like just atrocious pitching down the stretch in those latter innings, and it's clear that in this day and age that costs you more than not having a big bat per se.
I will say though, in the White Sox case, and there's no question the bullpen was bad, but that's also the cost of doing business when you're promoting a guy like Chris Sale. You know what I'm saying? Their bullpen was bound to take a step back by promoting him forward, which was the right move to make.
We had to.
You got to get him ready to go. And now you look at where the White Sox are, and you look at what they were able to do with this offseason. You bring in a Jeff Samardzija. You bring in Melky Cabrera.
Yep.
You're able to bring in. Did they not bring in LaRoche?
Yeah, absolutely.
So now you got Jose Abreu in that lineup with LaRoche. And you bring in Jeff Samardzija. Sale obviously is not going to start the season. We're going to get into that a little bit. But obviously that's just a minor setback. Sale is expected to make a full recovery.
Yeah, he already had a great minor league rehab.
Absolutely.
Game on Wednesday. I think he struck out 9 in 6 innings. So.
And that's the point is, and that's what it's all about now in baseball, is the turnaround is so quick. And I think baseball purists need to learn to be excited about these kinds of things. They need to learn to be like, I think so often baseball is having, like, the main issue with baseball in general across the board is that it's losing viewership because it refuses to adapt to the times.
I think that
slices both ways, both, like, I think the fan base, that there's so many fans of baseball and they want that they've got that old school mentality that we want pitchers that pitch 7 innings. I don't think we necessarily with what that does to guys' health and how hard guys are throwing now, like, I don't think we necessarily need that. And I think there is excitement to be had in a baseball game watching a guy pitch 5-6 innings and then watching 3 guys after him or 4 guys after him throwing 95 miles an hour. And I really like it, keeps the scoring down for the most part. I mean, obviously you've got games where guys blow it out, but I think this is a really, really good time for baseball, and I think this is going to be a really good season.
So, would it be fair to assess what you're saying as you think the era of like a Roger Clemens, like a Greg Maddux, like those guys?
Yep, I think that's done. I think it just is, and I think that that's just the culture of baseball, not only at the major league level, but just what these kids are doing. You have kids. Prospects being touted at 11 years old, 9 years old, you know, phenoms like this. And it's just gotten to the point now where there's just so many of them.
Yeah.
It's not super hard to find guys that throw really, really, really hard. So if you can get them to have good mechanics and you can get them to stay healthy and use them in little spurts, Then essentially, I think that's proving to be the most. You can't tell me that it's not effective. Like baseball purists would tell you. I think an old school guy would be like, well, why can't a guy pitch? Like, why is he only? Why aren't guys pitching 7-8 innings like in the old days? Why aren't they going Nolan Ryan? It's like, it's because like. I mean, granted, Nolan Ryan.
That's the name I almost used instead of Roger Clemens. But like, but that's just like the days of.
It's just done. It's just, you've got so many guys now that can throw so freaking hard. And so, so if you can bring him in for 2-3 innings, you can't tell me it's not working. Batting averages, power numbers, all that hitting stuff that we saw, the big boomers in the 90s, that's gone. Like, it's, and part of that is drug testing. And we're also going to get into that in a little bit. But it's going to be a really good Major League Baseball season. And I think
the setup man has become an art form
in
Major League Baseball. As like before, it was like I think it was not necessarily like not frowned upon, but it was almost like underappreciated as like your setup man in like your 7th-8th innings that comes in before
it's huge.
Your before for your reliever comes into
your closer, absolutely.
Your closer comes in to make the save.
To shut the door.
The setup man is hugely important, especially.
I think that conversation now is even beyond like bullpen is huge.
Yeah,
like it's just huge. Like that's where it seems to be. I mean, when you really look at it, at least in the AL, I can't really speak too much to the NL on this particular topic, but with the AL, with the DH, and all the hitting that goes on in the American League, and all the big numbers that most of those hitters put up, mm-hmm. The emphasis on spending not a lot of money, but smart money on your bullpen, and bringing in guys you don't need. You know, I mean, not every middle, like if you can bring a guy in, like a middle reliever, he doesn't need to have a ton of velocity, but if he's controlled and he can keep the ball in play, that's huge. Then you bring in a setup guy that throws tons of heat, and then you've got your closer to slam the door. But yeah, just money and bullpen in general it's so, so important now in the game of baseball. So important.
I 100% agree. All right, that was a long-winded way of saying that we're very excited for the season.
Yes.
If you could not already tell from that 10-minute opening rant we had just about... I mean, the problem is, and I think it's something that needs to be worked on somehow. I don't know how exactly you go about it, but there's not enough young guys like our age who care about baseball anymore.
Well, and I think that just goes to... Baseball needs to adapt. It needs to find a way to... And they took some measures this offseason to try and get it going. Like, they set new pace rules to try and move the game along. And I think that's important. But I also think baseball itself needs... Like, how long did it take for us? It took way too long to get sufficient replay rules.
That's... Yeah.
It obnoxiously amount... Like, I mean, like, we should have been... They're just to open replay at first to just, what was it? They just did, it was just home run calls. Like, close calls at the plate, any base, really, just close calls, like bang, bang plays at bases of the plate should definitely be reviewable. I mean, I understand that you can't review every single strike and ball, you know, that sort of thing, but there's just plays that they just should be. It just should be reviewable. And it took baseball way too long to adapt, and it continues to take baseball way too long to adapt. And that's why other sports like basketball and football seem to be able to capture the attention of younger viewers.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So,
well, here's hoping that maybe we can touch a few souls and make them realize that
absolutely.
Baseball is still an extremely exciting game.
Baseball's sweet.
I'm not one of those... proponents for that adage that only the last 2 months of baseball matters. You can say that you unintentionally made that argument for those people by citing the Royals, which yeah. was, I would say, a bit of an exception to the rule, because I think the entire season matters.
No, but that's what I'm saying is, like, the Royals. Like, it wasn't like the Royals weren't putting out ever. Like, they were.
No.
You look at the. They were playing in the AL Central. They had to be at 500 because they weren't going to catch the Tigers and win.
Yep.
So it was really important for them. I guess all I was trying to say is, like, from the standpoint of, like, where you. Like where your record can be, like. You can look at your roster in the offseason now. And if you can just tell yourself, you know what, if I get the right pieces in place and we can make the right run at the right time, that's the way to do it. Obviously, though, like you can't just be waiting for the run. You have to play out the season. You have to get, like, the Royals did not have it easy at all.
No,
that I mean, given the payroll and given the youth, and that's just, I mean, that's good timing. I mean, we've been saying for a long time that the Royals had one of the best farm systems, and it was just a matter of, like, is this ever going to turn out for them?
Yep.
And all of a sudden, boom, when nobody was expecting it, they went on a tear. But yeah, no, I mean, I can tell you as a Twins fan, the last few seasons, our seasons have been lost in the first 2-3 months. Like, yeah, I mean, and we were not playing 500 ball.
White Sox too.
So a hot start is absolutely key. It's huge. I mean, obviously, the run down the stretch is always important.
Sure.
But I would say you absolutely need to get off to a hot start and really play competitive baseball off the bat. If not just to send a message to other teams in your division, like, we're not going to be messed with this year. Yeah. Like, if the White Sox come out with all the spending they did this offseason, all the turnover they did, and they start knocking around Cleveland and they start banging on the door in Detroit, I can tell you right now, Detroit's not thinking, if we can just play 500 ball, they're going to be thinking, oh, shit, we better start getting our shit together here. Chicago's going to run away with this before anybody has a chance to realize they're running away with it. So,
yeah, but and obviously you agree, too. I'm just one of those people that thinks from the first pitch on opening day, matters.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Every pitch, every game from 1 to 162 matters. And I just hope that younger people get that embedded into them, is that, like, baseball from the beginning to the end does matter. Because there are a lot of people out there that I hear say that it doesn't matter until mid-July, August.
It's a marathon. You got to appreciate the marathon. You got to appreciate the long game in baseball. You got to appreciate the ebbs and flows of the season.
Exactly.
And that's what you got to enjoy. And that's... You know, people say baseball's slow, and that may be true, but I'd find that it's not necessarily slow. It's just there's a rhythm to baseball, and I think once baseball can get the rhythm to pick up a little bit here, I think more people will watch, and I think last year's World Series really helped the cause.
I mean, you saw it, case in point, our co-host Steve. I've never seen that man care about a baseball game ever, but he was over here like three out of four nights one week watching that World Series with
them. Well, it was a while. It was just, I mean,
it was so fun to watch. Like,
in what led to the series, like, man, tip of the cap to Kansas City. I mean, wow. Tip of the cap to Eric Hosmer.
I gained so much respect for that organization.
I mean, I knew he was good. I knew he was good.
I knew he was good. I just meant the whole organization as a whole, I just gained such a new respect for, man. They had a fire lit under them that second half of the season, and until game 7 of the World Series, that fire was not put out.
And I
would argue that game, if you could have made that game a 15-game series, and it would have gone back and forth.
And you look at that team, and you look at the youth, and you look at how young and energetic they are, and I'm telling you, man, they weren't thinking, like, at the start of the season, like, we're just going to take it easy, see where we're at in 3 months. No, that's a team that really had to fight most of the goddamn season to get where they needed to be.
That's very true.
So,
all right, man, let's move on. We got a lot to get to.
For sure, man.
I wanted to start with some notable players that we will not be seeing tomorrow.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the one we've really got to start with is the one that cuts closest home for you.
Yep.
Starting pitcher Irvin Santana, suspended for the first 80 games of the season, tested positive for... A performance-enhancing drug that you shouldn't have in your goddamn system. Let's just call it that. Yeah, man. What can I say? You signed him in the offseason, 4 years, $54 million.
Yep.
And
I can't remember what the signing bonus was.
This is the first thing that happens after a relatively decent spring.
He was killing it in spring.
He was good in spring.
He was really, really killing it in spring. All right, obviously,
so we've talked about your thoughts, but I want to get your thoughts he's had a couple days to process it. What are you feeling?
I guess right off the bat, it's just like, you know what? That just figures. I've been bitching and whining and complaining just like every other Twins fan about the fact that there is just a distinct lack of willingness. Not even just, it doesn't seem like the front office of the Minnesota Twins, their MO since forever, and to their credit, brought a lot of success to this franchise. But their MO was, don't go out in free agency, spend, you know, ridiculous amounts of money, don't really drop big money, or try to spend money on lots of guys. You know, it's just been about drafting guys, developing guys through the farm system, bringing them along slowly, and then once you get a core group that you like of young guys, you can sustain, hopefully, long-term success, and then decide from there who stays and who goes. That's not a thing anymore in baseball. Not completely. It can be, but at the end of the day, you gotta go spend money. You have to.
You need that veteran leadership, for one, and you can't get a veteran leadership if you're just putting cycling guys through the farm system.
Absolutely.
That's just not how that works.
Well, and at the end of the day, it's like, you can have a really good farm system. You can have a great farm system for a long time. That doesn't mean you're going to have any long-term...
You do have
any
a good
kind
farm
of,
system.
Oh, no, we do. But I'm saying, like, we've had it for the last 4 or 5 years.
Right.
And
like,
where is that? And we've lost 90 games. Yeah. So, every single season. So, front office finally goes out. And they go and spend money on a guy. And they did it last year.
Your biggest free agent signing ever, right?
I was going to say, since like the year before it was Ricky Nolasco, and that was obviously dumpster fire. That was terrible. But, you know, we brought in Phil Hughes. Not a lot of money. Played really well. But no, this was like the biggest free agent, outside free agent signing in franchise history.
Yeah.
7-8 year career. Never been busted. Never, ever was linked to anything like that. I don't believe, not that I can recall.
No.
Largely seemed like a really productive pitcher at the major league level.
And just like he seemed like a classy dude. Like, I never really, correct me if I'm wrong, but I never really heard anything, like, about him, like, outside of
and you know how, like, rivalries run deep in baseball. So, like, guys have grudges. Like, hitters have grudges against, but I don't, can't
hitters have
of,
grudges against every pitcher.
I mean, but for sure, but I can't recall any hitter going out and saying Ervin Santana's this or that and that and this or anything like that. But
this came out of left field.
It just, and it was just like, but I looked at it as a Twins fan, and I saw the update on my phone, and I was like, that makes sense. Like, of course that happens. Of course, they finally go spend money. They finally do what the fans want. And then this asshole, I'm just beside myself. And it's like, part of it, like...
I thought it was an April Fool's joke.
I honestly was like, you gotta be kidding me. This is like, I've scrolled.
I thought someone was playing a trick on you.
I was like, this is 48 hours, like, late. I just got this, and I got it, like way too late. Like, this is not happening. This is not happening. I
couldn't believe it.
I'm thinking, okay, so he has to release a statement. And I know he's got to say something. But when you say, I am frustrated that I cannot pinpoint where the substance in question entered my body, I just go, get out, leave. If you don't have it figured out now, in this day and age in Major League Baseball and what the league's trying to do and how hard they're cracking down, they're just not fucking around anymore. They're not.
It just boggles my mind after...
If they're going to go after A-Rod, they're going to go after you. It doesn't matter who you are anymore.
Literally, like, took the words right out of my mouth. Like, it just boggles my mind that if one of... the most highly regarded players in baseball history gets caught, how do you think you're not going to get caught?
If they're
going
to go after the NL MVP from 2 years ago, Ryan Braun, you think they're not going to go after you?
They are not fucking around.
Absolutely not. And they know that because we don't want to see it. We don't want this. Like, I don't know, I wasn't a big baseball fan back in, like, the mid-90s. Like, I didn't become a baseball fan, like, till, like, I was 11, 12 years old. And that was when, you know, the Twins sort of resurrected themselves.
Right.
And you had Torrey Hunter, Jack Jones, Doug Minkiewicz, blah, blah, A.J. Pierzynski. But, like, we don't want to see that. We don't want big, like, I don't, all that era, the Jose Canseco's, the Mark McGuire's, the Sammy Sosa's, the Barry Bonds, I don't want that to be baseball. I don't want that. And I understand that performance enhancement is going to be a never-ending battle in any sport, especially baseball. Like, this is always going to be here. Mm-hmm. Even if, and I don't believe it was, even if it actually was like an accident, even if he didn't knowingly take a performance enhancer or take a banned substance, if you are a major league pitcher, a starting pitcher, a soon-to-be ace for a new ball club off of a free agent contract, and you don't know what's going in your body, get out. Get out. I'm done. It sucks because you can't trade him now because his word isn't worth shit. He's definitely not worth the money you paid him.
He's already missing the first half 80 of the games. Season.
So you can't do anything with him. So now you're stuck with him. I'm beside myself on it. I'm so sick.
I tell you, 80 games from now, he better come out and he better not make one mistake. If he wants to even have an ounce of redemption as far as this goes, he better come out and just pitch like he's fucking Clayton
Kershaw.
He better
sling it.
He better pitch like he's Clayton Kershaw.
I swear to God, if he comes back and he pulls like, and like, I don't mean to go, whenever I get into the performance enhancing, like, whatever conversation, I always seem to find myself going after Ryan Braun because I hate Ryan Braun.
Fuck Ryan. Sorry. No, that's not fair. I shouldn't say that. But like, no, Ryan Braun was an asshole.
Like, I really.
It was messed
and,
up.
And so, like, here's my whole thing. Like, I was about to say, like, if he comes back off of this suspension and doesn't, like, play lights out, like, I'm going to be even more pissed. Like, I'm going to.
Rightfully so.
Because, like, Braun hasn't gone back to the player he was.
No.
Since, and granted, he's had to deal with some nagging injuries, so now we'll see where he's at with supposedly a clean bill of health going into the season.
Quote, unquote.
We'll see what happens. But, no, I swear, he better come back. That final stretch, let's see, you're missing 80 games. Yeah, that's half the season, so you'll have another 82.
He's basically got 82 games to somewhat make up for his mistake, which it's not going to happen. Like,
you... He better. Oh,
well,
man.
Well, you figure he'll play. Let's see. Figure he'll play. I don't know. Maybe 15 of those games?
Probably.
Doing quick math here. But yeah, probably about 15 of those
games.
If he stays healthy.
Or whatever.
If he plays 15 games.
Yeah.
He better be going like 12-3, 13-2.
And that's the thing
ridiculous.
Is like, no,
like
but then that's the other thing is like, it won't bother me. Like, if he doesn't get wins, that won't bother me. Because I don't expect this to be that good still. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right, but when you bring in an ace for $54 million, you expect to get the wins out of.
See, and like, if we. And that's the thing. Like, I do want wins, but more importantly, I just want to see the ERA down. Like, I just want to see him pitching good. I want to see him eat innings, and I wanted to see him get the ERA. If he gets to win, great. I want him to get the win. I want him to get wins. I want him to help us win ball games. At the end of the day, though, if the bullpen's not what it was last year, if Glenn Perkins can't come back as the closer, and we find ourselves having to do another, God forbid, closer by committee thing, I mean, I've done that, and that
right.
I think you've dealt with that,
yeah,
too, and that's not...
Year.
The closer is a very, very important position in baseball.
It's
not to be debated in this modern era of baseball. So, no, so if he doesn't get wins down the stretch, but man, that ERA better be at like 2.29, and he better be averaging six innings a go because that's. And he should, I don't know what the signing bonus was, but he should give every dime of that back to the Minnesota Twins.
Without question.
Every single dime of it. I'm so pissed off.
And part of the problem that I find is that it's not required for something like that to happen.
No,
that should be a clause in every MLB player's contract.
And then normally.
You fuck up like that,
absolutely.
You give back your signing bonus. No arguments, no question about it. You give it back immediately. Or you know what? Don't even give it back. It's taken away from you.
And as another, if I were another professional player that was clean, like, I'm going to be honest with you. It'd be like, I don't want my union dues to the Players Association going to any of that guy. Like, I don't want us paying for shit of these guys' stuff. Like, if this is how they're going to approach the game, like, I don't want to have any part of that. Like, I just... And now you look at it like how... There was three players that got busted for this. What is it? Stanislaw or however you pronounce it.
Yeah, whatever.
So there's three guys that got busted with it off the back. MLB's investigating to see if there's a common source in place. So there could be more guys that are connected with this that didn't get busted necessarily during testing, but through affiliation, if they find a common point. And that would suck.
This could be... Here's hoping it's only these three guys.
I'm honestly, like, even as a Twins fan, I'm just like, you know, I hope it's just Irvin Santana. Like, honestly. And to be honest with you, dude, like, even, like, let's say busted for these 80 games, comes back down the stretch, pitches well, we don't go to the postseason, it's another shitty year. But if he pitches really, really, like, really well, trade his ass. Trade him.
Yep.
Trade him. Get him out of here. I don't want to have anything to do with it.
If he can give you like a 10-5 season with like a, what'd you say, like a 2.2 ERA?
Good strikeout to walk ratio. Throw him out on the trade block. There's got to be somebody interested. Everybody, I mean, at the end of the day, what really sucks about it is like these guys get second opportunities. Look at Nelson Cruz in Baltimore last year. Like, he killed it. Mm-hmm. He crushed it. And it was... He was a part of the whole bit with A-Rod and Ron, and when he was a Ranger, and went out in Baltimore and crushed it. So, guys will want him. Guys will want Irvin Santana despite this. And I don't want him on the team. I just don't.
Hey man, I wouldn't want him either. Whether he's affiliated with the White Sox,
he's a cheater. Or an accidental cheater. Either way, you're just not smart. Whether it's deliberate or ignorant, we don't need that.
No.
You don't need it. Well, whatever, man. We've lost 90 games last four seasons. We can do it again for... I mean, it sucks. It sucks because, like, looking at where the rotation was going. Okay, so you got Irvin Santana, and then you bring in... You bring in Irvin Santana. You've got Phil Hughes, who had a really productive year last year. You've got Kyle Gibson, who came along nicely as a youngster. Then you slide in Ricky Nolasco and pray to God that he actually turns out. And I think, who did they have in the last slot? It wasn't Pelfrey. Now they've got Mike Pelfrey, but they sent somebody down after having to bring in Pelfrey. Anyways... It's not a great rotation. I'm not saying that's a rotation that's, you know, going to dominate. But if Phil Hughes continues the trend that he, you know, he pitches,
all competent pitchers.
He pitched really well in Target Field. He didn't pan out in New York because New York's a small ballpark. Like, it balls carry there. They don't carry at Target Field. And Phil Hughes is a pitch to contact like guy. That's what he does. And it's panned out in Target Field. Irvin Santana looked great in spring prior to this, obviously. So there were things to get excited about for Twins fans, and there still are. It's just now it's like, all right, well, it's hard not to have the mindset, wake me up when the prospects get here right now. Like, whereas before I was really ready to be engaged from the get-go. I'm like, let's see what happens here. Let's see if we can win a couple games, win a couple series at the start, put ourselves in a good position, and then call up the young guys. And now it's just like, you know, wake me up when Buxton and Snow get up here, because I'm just like, I'm done with it. I'm just so pissed. And it sucks. I want to be mad at the front office, but I can't.
But you can't. They didn't do anything wrong.
No. I mean, like Terry Ryan, the GM, said it himself. He's like, I mean, what is it? This guy's been in the league for 7-8 years. I don't know how I could have seen this coming. He's a great pitcher who was available.
There's no fault to the organization.
No way.
No fault. Let's move on to another notable player who's not going to be in the opening day lineup, as most of us expected him to be.
Yeah.
And that'd be young prospect Chris Bryant.
Chris Bryant.
For the Cubs.
Third baseman.
Yeah, third baseman. The Cubs organization announced this past week that they would be sending him back to AAA for the start of the season. And it's caused quite an uproar as uproars in Major League Baseball opening day scenarios go.
No, for sure.
If you don't know Chris Bryant, he's a 23-year-old, an absolute monster in AAA last year.
I would say as
hit
far
43
as...
43 home runs, and then led the league, led the majors in spring training with 9 home runs this year.
Obviously, I'm biased. I wouldn't say that he is the best prospect in baseball, but because I'm obviously on the Byron Buxton train, but you can make an argument for this kid.
You could make a really solid argument.
And I wouldn't bat an eye about it. So, I don't know. I guess what are your thoughts on it?
Well, so his agent came out this past week and basically ripped into the organization for sending Chris Bryant back down to AAA, basically so that they could exhaust another year out of his contract before his free agency in like 2021.
Mm-hmm.
It's, as far as I'm concerned, it was clearly purely a business decision.
Yeah.
Because the bylaw in Major League Baseball is basically that if you send a kid back down to the minors and he spends 11 days in the minors, you get another year out of his contract once he moves up in the majors before he can test free agency. I believe his contract was through 2020. If he spends the first 11 days in the minors, which it's clear right now that he will not be a free agent until 2021. His agent's not happy.
Of course he's not.
It's clear that, I mean, it's clear that if you watch, there was a quick little like interview with Chris Bryant, like after he finally spoke about it. And it's clear he's a little confused because he's a 23-year-old kid. He hasn't dealt with the business of Major League Baseball before. He's a little confused as to why this would matter to the Cubs organization so much, because it's clear right now they need him. Like, they need the kid to come in and be a major factor for them. But they're treating it more of as, like, down the line as opposed to right now, which I think is a mistake if you're that organization and you're trying to go out and win a World Series.
See, I think too much was made of the Joe Maddon signing and the John Lester signing. In that, and I think it is it was obviously a huge, both of those factors, that was huge for the Chicago Cubs.
Sure.
I think too much has been made of it in the sense that I think too many people believe it's going to make this immediate impact. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah.
I just don't. They've been so bad. And I'm not saying, like, I was just talking about how, you know, like, there's reason now more than ever to believe in the quick turnaround.
Mm-hmm.
In having losing seasons, then 80-win seasons, and potentially going to the World Series. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Like, so I'm not saying, like, there's reason to believe in Chicago. I think there's more that needs to be done than just bringing in one really great arm. Like, John Lester can't do it all. He was in Oakland last year. They were set to roll. Like, they thought that was it.
Nope.
Exactly. So, and I think Joe Maddon is smart enough to know this. And I think I don't know what the talks are like between the front office and this young man, but if I were going to Chris Bryant and I were the GM of the Cubs, I would just tell him, look, man, we think you have a very, very, very important role here in this organization for the very long foreseeable future here. I need you as long as I can have you. I still have more pieces to put in place here. Because their lineup still isn't that great. Mm-hmm. Even with him there. It's just not. Especially in the NL Central. Like, the Cardinals always find a way to bust it out on the pitch. Like, it just seems like I look at the Brewers and I think, man, they're just knocking it around. They should just be able to just knock it around on air. Like, I was supposed to say the Arizona Cardinals. The St. Louis Cardinals. Yeah. Somehow, St. Louis finds a way to put together a rotation every single year and a bullpen every single year. And so, I think You're right. It's just a pure business move, and if they can just explain to him, like, obviously the agent's pissed because he's losing money, sure. and that's the only thing that they care about, you know? Like, but if you can explain it to him, like, look, dude, we're looking to keep you here a while. I'm building something here that I want to be big for a while. This fan base is starved. This city is starved. You are the first seed that has been planted here into this like beautiful garden that is going to be what I hope to be sustainable success here, not just in winning division. Because like you can tell when you bring in Joe Madden, you don't just want to win division titles. Like you want to make postseason runs.
Yep.
And you want to bring guys in. Joe Madden is a manager that guys want to play for. The Cubbies have not been a popular destination for big free agents. It's just like, why go play there? You know? Like, just, it hasn't made sense for a while.
Right.
So, I think it's a no-brainer for the Cubs. I think you have to do it. This guy's a monster. And if he can keep on the track that he's going on, he's going to be really good. And the longer you can keep him in a Cubs uniform, the better. So, I think if you just bring that across to him and like, look, your time's coming. I don't know. I just didn't see the Cubs winning it all this year.
No, I didn't either. I thought that was super premature to be talking
absolutely.
About
absolutely. Like, I didn't really understand. Cause
and that's definitely, like, calmed down.
For sure, since spring training.
Those signings and for since sure. spring training. But, like, it was a little while there, like, back in, like, December and January, I mean, where it was just like, Cubs are winning the World Series.
Yeah.
It's just a no-brainer right now. I'm let's slow down a little
like,
bit.
Who else do they even have in their lineup? Like, I understand Starlin Castro's good, but, like, nobody else in that lineup is really jumping out at me. I guess you bring in Dexter Fowler. Anthony Rizzo's pretty good. But there's nothing else there in that lineup that makes me think, yep, they're going all the way. I'm not seeing it.
Yeah, I'm scrolling through the roster right now.
Rizzo's great. But Castro's still hit or miss.
Yeah.
Fowler's fast. That's good. That was a good pickup.
There's even been I've even heard inklings of like talk that Castro might even get traded before the All-Star break.
That's in there as well. Yeah, because he's so hit or miss, the inconsistency.
You can't trust him from one game to
another.
Well,
they don't know if it's ego or if it's...
It's definitely some ego.
Well, for sure. Like, it just... So, I don't know. Like, obviously, when you bring in a guy like John Lester, and well, the Madden signing was a bigger deal, I think, than the Lester signing. Like,
yeah.
At the end of the day, like, I don't know about you. I don't really read in too much anymore on big free agent pitching, you know, acquirements. You know what I'm saying? Like, when a major
well, especially
like
especially when they're on the latter half of their career.
Well, not even but I just see more often than not you see big arms get moved more than big bats do.
Definitely.
Big bats stay places cuz they bring in more money. But how many it's not like Cliff Lee like I'm surprised Cliff Lee is still in Philly. I can't believe he hasn't moved yet. Like it happens all the time with big arms. So like even though that yes, the Lester signing is big, but even then, I don't make as big a deal into big free agent signings with pitchers. I just feel like them getting like it's so subjective. They'll get moved. They can get moved. That for whatever reason, because one pitcher can't do it. You need it. You need bats. You know, you can't have one ace. You gotta have guys front and back. So, all
right. So, how long do you think it is before Chris Bryant gets called up?
I mean, there's no indication he's ready. Like, for sure. So,
just had to put a number on it. Like, obviously, it's gonna be 11 days plus. Like, what do you think?
I guess if it was me, if I were the Cubs, I'd just do that 11 days and send him right up.
Yeah. I think they're going to give him the month of April just to be a little less transparent about it.
I suppose.
But I think by May 1, we see Chris Bryant in the starting lineup.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I guess the main thing, Do you risk frustrating him more by not like do you, if you go longer than 11 days, do you risk frustrating this kid more? Or do you just say, let's just dispense with the transparencies and the pleasantries and let's just let you do your thing. We want you here. This is where it was a business move. You did your 11 days. We're sorry, but we got to do it. We want you here. Now go wreck. Get mad and go wreck.
No, yeah, I can see that.
You know, like, I guess that would be the way I would want to approach it. I also see what you mean, like, like, part of me would be like, it just doesn't seem like the Cubs are at a point now where it's just like, there ain't no fucks given. You know, like, that's they're true. Just like, we're going out, we're spending money now, we're trying to bring in the guys to do it. I still think, I agree with Sports Illustrated, I agree with most of the predictors. I think they're a 500 club this year. I think there'll be drastic improvement.
Absolutely.
It'll be interesting to see it, like, the halfway point, whether they're buyers or sellers, and if they're in a position where they think they can make a run, if they'll try and acquire, you know, a certain need. Looks like they're going to need a bat either way. At some point this season, they're going to need a bat. So, yeah.
All right, let's move on to a couple more before we get into predictions for this year. My boy, Chris Sale, on the DL to start the season. He will not be taking his opening day spot. Jeff Samardzija, our recent acquisition, will get that start. Chris is currently rehabbing from, he's got a broken foot, sprained ankle combination from some, what was the accident? Do you remember?
He was pulling, I think he said he was moving. Okay. He pulled a box out of the back of his truck and fell back funny or something like that.
I want to stop right there and just tell every professional athlete who is clearly listening to this podcast,
obviously, we are that popular, for sure.
Every professional athlete, guys, pay for movers. There's too many moving-related injuries in professional sports these days. Stop it. Just stop it. You'll pay for big houses. Why won't you pay for movers to move? God, it boggles my mind when you see a player rolling around in a Maserati, but then he's moving his own home. I don't even want to move my own home. I will pay for movers. I don't understand. I don't understand. Why are you jeopardizing your body when your entire career rests on things that your body does? Stop.
Why? What do you think? What do you think the conversation was like between Robin Ventura and Chris Sale?
Like, you, I think Robin Ventura literally had the face that I have.
Could
right
you
now.
Like? Could you like just? Hey, Rob. So Skip, I'm not gonna be available for opening day.
Oh, why?
Why is that? I was moving a box out of the back of my pickup and I sprained my ankle.
I'm sorry, you were what?
I was moving a box out of the back of my pickup and I sprained my ankle.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize you were hired by three men in a truck moving company in your off season.
I wasn't, Rob. I was moving my own stuff with my own pickup.
Chris, excuse my language, but why the fuck were you moving your own home in the off season?
That would suck. I will say this. I would rather my...
I love you, Chris. God damn it, you're one of my favorite pitchers. That's why I'm so upset about this. Like, just... Oh, we need you. We need you. We cannot afford to start April without you. I don't like it. I don't like... As much as I'm excited to see what Jeff Samardzija can do, I don't like a new acquisition opening... Pitching on opening day. I don't like it. No. I don't like it. It worries me. I'm worried... We've got a tough series to start. We've got to go play the world champion runner-ups, the Royals. We've got to start our season like that. I don't like it. I just don't like it.
Will Chris? Is he gonna get to pitch at all in April, or is
unless there's some huge setback, he will. He already pitched a minor league rehab stint. This past Wednesday,
gotcha.
I think he pitched a good like 6 1/3 innings. So he's definitely getting better. I would assume we'll see him by the second week in April. But I just don't like starting my season off without my ace.
Oh, dude, I'm pretty sure Ricky Nolasco took the mound last year for the Twins on opening day, and he got shelled. I think a year before that it was Carl Pavano, and he got shelled pretty good too.
You have not had a good opening day in the past few years.
No, it hasn't.
If I remember correctly,
it has not been great. It wasn't even good. Opening day wasn't even that great. I think the year Target Field opened, like the home opener, because we opened on the road that year in 2010, and the home opener was sweet against the Red Sox. Like I'll never forget that day. That was sweet. But yeah, no, Ricky Nolasco just got fucking shelled. And yeah, man, no. I mean, at the end of the day, Sale's going to be back. He's going to be back, and he's going to be sharp. I have no reason, I don't think anybody has any reason to believe he's not going to be his usual productive self, that he's not going to be absolutely in control. And shit, the best part about it, he's only what, like, isn't he our age? Isn't he like 25, 26? Like,
something like that.
Man.
He's just a really important part of our team, and I'm being my usual over-exaggerating self. Like, obviously, if you want to move your own home, move your own home. It was just a fluke accident.
It happened.
It's just a fluke accident, and you hate to see it. Like, we hate to see it at any time for anyone, but especially, like, when you're that integral to your team,
and
I
can imagine he was probably really pissed at himself.
There's no doubt in my mind that he was very livid.
I'll bet there was some colorful language he was dispensing in that very moment when he grabbed that box and twisted his ankle. I'm sure he was super mad at himself. So,
but we'll see. I'm cautiously optimistic about Jeff Samardzija. He did not have a good spring.
He's 31.
Yeah, he did not have a good spring. I want to say, what did he do? I mean, we did not have a good spring. We were 11-17-3, and we just got shellacked by our AAA affiliate, Charlotte.
Yeah.
We lost 10-2.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, that's not great.
No, it's not. But, Samardzija. It wasn't a great spring. He had an 8.44 ERA in 21 and a third innings and gave up 9 home runs.
Hideous.
Yeah.
That's hideous.
But
and then he's gotta go out. So now he's gotta go out on opening day. Is it in Kansas City or is it at Cell?
It's in Kansas City. Our Cell home opener isn't until the 10th. Against you guys.
I know. I just remembered that.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Hope as they always say, spring baseball is different baseball. Balls carry in Arizona real well compared to how they carry in.
Well, Cell carries pretty good too. Cell's
pretty
actually
well.
Pretty.
Cell does carry.
It used to be
one of my favorite ball clubs.
Oh, dude, I love I mean, like, obviously I'm a Twins fan. And there's obviously that rivalry going on, but back when Maurer could hit like
watchable rivalry.
Well,
right now.
No, but back when Maurer was hitting like Maurer, I mean, and you had like I love, like, back when it's probably going back more like four years ago now, but, you know, back when Maurer, Morneau, even Tomy getting into the mix, I liked going to the Cell. Because the ball carries, man. Like, it just goes. You connect, it'll fly. Cell sweet. That's a good ballpark.
Well, but yeah, long story short, we should see Chris back.
I have no reason to believe he's not going to be an all-star. Unless this somehow turns into something nagging and more long-term than anybody expected,
And just from all the reports and everything I've heard everyone say, it just doesn't even sound close to being that type of injury. So.
Yeah.
Let's move on to arguably, I would say, one of the other biggest notable injuries for opening day, which is Anthony Rendon for the Nats. Oh, yeah, he's starting the season on the 15-day DL. He's got a sprained MCL.
I still think the Nats are going to just crush. Oh, I just think that...
They have a stacked lineup.
I know I was just saying at the top how there's no super teams anymore. There's not going to be a lot of excuses for this team. There's just
injuries are going to be the excuse. Like, I mean, Jason Worth is probably going to start on the 15-day DL also. So like you hate to see that if you're a Nats fan. But look at this. With Anthony Rendon out, Yunel Escobar is going to get the start at third, and they'll slide Dan Uggla to second. Yunel Escobar is your backup third baseman. Dan Uggla over to second.
Dan Uggla's, I mean,
that's a good team, right?
Well, and it's
you don't hear.
And it's not just on, you know, they obviously, you know, decent, you know, fairly decent bats, but Dan Uggla plays good. I mean, he plays good defense. He's a really, really good defensively.
Absolutely.
And that's what, you know, that's what you love and appreciate about, like, that's why I love my boy Brian Dozier, you know, mm-hmm. You know, a guy largely never thought of, and then, you know, the last couple of years really turned it on. I mean, it's really been one of the only good things you can say, other than Glenn Perkins for the Twins, the only worthy talking points about their roster. And right. So, but you got to love a scrappy defensive second baseman, shortstop, just a utility guy that you can rotate mm-hmm. in and out of all those positions. And Dan Uggla's that guy. And obviously, Yunel Escobar is not a pushover at the plate at all. Like, I mean, he's not a guy you can sleep on.
He's not a bad guy to have if you don't have your star.
I don't think we've ever talked about this. Thoughts, feelings, impressions on Bryce Harper. What do you think of Bryce Harper? I've never asked you how you felt about him. And he seems to be one of the more polarizing athletes. I just think he's sweet.
Yeah.
There were some things that bugged me a little bit at the front. I didn't like the antics in the minor leagues, like, you know, we saw the kissing motion that he made.
Yeah,
you remember that?
Yeah.
And you know, I don't like that, but I'm going to be honest with you. Baseball needs this. They need Yasiel Puigs. They need Bryce Harpers. They need characters. Mm-hmm. They need Richard Shermans.
That's a really good comparison.
Like, we need guys like this.
It goes back to what we were
they
saying.
They can talk,
beginning.
Piss us off, mm-hmm. get us really riled up and really angry, but kill it and wreck it and play the game. I love the way he plays. Like, I know, like, he runs down every ball, 100 miles an hour. I know some people say, you know what, you need to watch out for your health more, you need to be smarter. Fuck that shit. I love that he just goes. That he just, the way he runs bases. I mean, he just loves the game. He loves it. And I love his mentality. Like, he was obviously so disappointed last year with the way that season ended up. And obviously he's had a sort of a tumultuous relationship with the front office. Mm-hmm. He thinks he's worth a lot. I don't necessarily agree with, you know, the way he's chosen to handle it. I think that organization's been pretty good to him, despite, you know, the injury issues and all right. that. But I loved that he was like, they were like, what's your plans for the offseason? And he goes, I'm just going to go back home and I'm just going to work out. I'm just going to get my ass in the best shape of my life, and then I'm going to come out next year, and we're going to kill it. And I love the confidence. It's not just is he cocky? Hell yeah, he's cocky. But he's also super confident in his team, and I believe he displays good leadership skills too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he even said, he goes, I look at my team and I just have that much confidence. I just think we're going to win. Like, I just think there's no reason why we can't.
You need more vocal guys like that.
Shit, yeah, you do. You need a bulldog. Like, what do they call it? The bulldog.
Yeah.
You need a bulldog in your clubhouse. And I'm maybe it's just because I've been watching Twins baseball the last few years, and I've just been so desperate for a guy like that. And it sounds like we've got one coming in Miguel Sano. It sounds like Miguel Sano is that firecracker. heavy hitter that just wants to wake everybody up and just let you know where he's at. But I like Bryce Harper. It just seems like he's got just a ton of haters in the baseball world, and I don't get it.
He's got haters for the exact same reason. For the exact same reason that the player you compared him to has haters, Richard Sherman. Like, yeah. It's just they're that guy that you love to hate.
Yeah, man.
And I love to hate Richard Sherman. I love to hate Bryce Harper a little bit too. But I think I don't know what it is. I think he's a super important part of Major League Baseball today. And I think to a somewhat lesser extent, Yasiel Puig is too. I think Yasiel Puig's just a little bit too much of a moron at times. I think Bryce Harper is a very smart individual, as opposed to Yasiel Puig makes dumb decisions off the field that Bryce Harper doesn't make.
Yeah.
They might have similar personalities and how vocal they are and how like somewhat over the top and cocky they are on the field. But Bryce Harper is a consummate professional off the field, whereas Yasiel Puig still has a lot to learn, has a lot of growing up to do to sort of be that voice that Bryce Harper is for the Nats.
Absolutely. And it's just, I don't know.
He's important for baseball, and that's as far as my opinion really goes, because to be honest with you, I don't watch a lot of Nats baseball. But I think he's exactly what you said. Is he's needed in baseball to do exactly what we want, what we said at the beginning of the show, which is get more young kids into this game. We need more guys like him.
I just don't. The other thing is, you know, like I get sometimes the hate with Puig is like he just doesn't. I mean, with Puig And much in the same way with Harper, there's a lot of raw athleticism going on. But with Harper, with Puig, sometimes it seems effortless. With Harper, it's all effort. Yeah. Like, there is not... And I love, like, weren't people going after him at one point last year because he was slumping hard, coming off injuries? Like, there a point, a stretch last year where he wasn't hitting super well? And I think manager last year was still Davey Johnson, right? And he retired just this last offseason. Yes. Or did he retire 2 years ago and I forget that?
Oh, God.
Because I thought the manager was still Davey Johnson, but maybe I'm wrong. In either case, I remember that they kept talking about Harper and his attitude and this and that and about how that... You know, I think at one point they sent him down or something like that, or they benched. They either sent him down or benched him as to, like, try and get him to just, like, refocus. And it wasn't really a move to, like, it wasn't really ego or attitude related. It was just that he was struggling. But the media kept trying I felt like the media kept trying to make it about this confrontational bit. And then he came out and crushed it.
Yeah.
And crushed it down the stretch. I love guys like that. I really do.
Davey Johnson retired after the 2013 season.
Yep. So it wasn't him last year.
It was Matt Williams.
Matt Williams. That's who it was. Yeah. No, I don't know. I never asked you about Bryce Harper, what you thought of Bryce Harper, so I was just curious. I know he seems to be a particularly polarizing figure in the baseball world. I also think... I mean, I understand that there's this whole, like, respect thing or whatever, what have you in baseball, that you don't show up, guys. You don't flip your bat, this and that. I'm starting to get to a point where...
I don't mind the bat flip.
I don't mind the...
I like the bat flip.
I want emotion.
Me too.
You don't get mad at a wide receiver for spiking a ball or this and that, like... There's trash talk going on all the time on a basketball court. Why can't there be trash talk in baseball?
I've never understood that either.
And I don't understand why baseball purists, like old school guys, are like totally okay with Nolan Ryan punching the shit out of a guy that's charging the mound, but they're not okay with Bryce Harper or Yasiel Puig talking trash. That's the other thing.
That's a really good point.
Get off of Puig's back. about the trash talk. If you want to get on him for just being an idiot off the field, that sort of thing.
That's fair.
But I'm tired. I'm getting really tired of, like, okay. People are talking about how when a guy gets beaned or whatever, he shouldn't take it personally sometimes, whatever. Fuck that.
I take that shit personally every single time.
I was going to say, I don't care if you put it in my butt or you trying to put it up in my eye. Like, if you're trying to throw fucking baseball as hard as you can at me, like, I don't care if it's 85, 75, 90 miles an hour. I'm going to come up to the mound. I'm going to let you know that I don't appreciate that. Especially if I'm built like Yasiel Puig. Because I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think a major league pitcher, any major league pitcher in the game today, could take Yasiel Puig. Like, at all.
Hell no.
At all. At all.
They
no question.
They would get their shit. Rock.
He looks like a linebacker.
He's a scary. If I saw that dude in an alley, like, just like based on his build, I would just be like, you know what? I don't want any part of it. I don't want to fight you if we're in a bar. I don't want to fight you ever. I just take whatever you want.
And he's younger than us. He's like
23.
I can't even believe it, man. It's nuts. Yeah, man. Like I just
I love the trash talk.
Absolutely,
I love the trash talk, and I'm tired of people. That's a really good point that you bring up. Is I'm tired of baseball purists abhorring that part of the game. I want that to be part of the game. I think that's a great part of sports that I don't think people like realize is that trash talk is a big part of sports. From the time you're a kid till the time you're a professional athlete, like there's room for trash talk. As long as it's not overly disrespectful into like slurs or anything like that, there's nothing that can't be said besides things like that that I don't think is fair game. There's nothing wrong with trash talk.
I just think I want that. I mean, Twins, and that's the thing, is like I'm a fan of the Twins, and the Twins have never ever been that kind of franchise. They've never been, but man. AJ Pierzynski, when he was a White Sox, when he was catching for the White Sox, he would do whatever he could to bring the worst out of the Twins. But that's the thing, is he did it as a Twin. Like, I knew he did. I knew that was a part of his game as a Minnesota Twin as well. Like, that's who he is.
God damn, I love that, man. I love AJ Pierzynski.
And that's the thing, is like, I've said for so long that I hate him, but it's just like, you know what?
He's impossible to hate.
No, like, He's caught his whole career. Mm-hmm. He hasn't needed, like I love Joe Mauer, and, you know, obviously we, you know, the main thing, like, the Twins wanted to keep Pierzynski, but Pierzynski didn't want to be a backup backstop. He was like, I can still be a starter.
Yep.
So then he went to Chicago. He went to Chicago, and he made life hell. He made life hell for us, man. It sucked. And every time he'd smack a homer, he'd look at our bench and he'd flip the bat at the bench. Like, it's one thing to flip the bat, but then when you flip it at the bench, but that's who he is. He would talk, and I read articles. I remember there was an ESPN article. It was when it was back in like 02 when the Twins were rolling, and they were talking about it. It was Torrey Hunter, Jock Jones, Doug Mankiewicz, mm-hmm. and AJ Pierzynski, and they put him on the cover. They said the Twins, the team that saved baseball. I'll never forget that. And that was when I remember like really being into baseball, and I remember reading that article. And they were talking about like Pierzynski, he sits behind that plate and he'll say anything he wants. He loves talking to hitters, which is why it's not surprising when Delmon Young's running home and he's about to get tagged out by AJ that he's going to take his hands and kind of give him a little forearm shiv up by his dome. But that's what AJ does.
Yep.
That's that, and I guarantee you, where is he? Now he's in. Is he a Red Sox? He's with the Red Sox now?
Oh, God.
He just got picked up this offseason again, I thought he's with a new club. I could be wrong.
Oh, he's with the Braves.
Oh, with the Braves. Gotcha. He was with the Red Sox last year, I think, or something like that.
I think he was with the Cardinals last year.
Cardinals?
I don't know.
Either way, but that's just, he's still catching. I mean, he's still a veteran leader. And he still has, I mean, he those are the guys you want in the clubhouse.
Yep.
He's like a Torrey Hunter. He's loud. He's obnoxious. He's on guys. He nags guys, especially the young guys that need it, that need that kind of veteran leadership. That's, yeah, man.
That's go. That go, that went, that goes back to what I the comment I made earlier, absolutely, which was like, the farm systems are great, but God, you need some veteran leadership in there.
Absolutely.
You need veteran leadership.
Well, you just need, you need veteran leadership, and you just need established talent. You need,
mm-hmm,
it doesn't matter necessarily if the guy is 25 or 32 or whatever. You need a guy that has established himself as, you know, a reputable player in the league at whatever position, whether he's catching, pitching, whatever. You need guys like that in your locker room. Like, I'm not expecting to, like, Torrey Hunter's not going to go out and just, I hope he's productive, but he's not going to go out and wreck this year for the Twins. Like, right, he's not going to go out and...
He's what, 39?
Something like that. He's closing in on 40. And it's, you know, but what I'm really looking forward to, it makes it imperative. Like, we need to get Byron Buxton and Miguel Sano up. If not for that reason alone, because I want Torrey Hunter mentoring these guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I want Torrey doing it with Paul Molitor. I want them doing it in tandem.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like Paul Molitor, from what I've seen so far as a manager, is very no-nonsense. And right now, we need a change of energy. We've done the garden hire thing, where I trust you to do your job and this and that. I'm ready for the, this is how I run my ship.
Get on board or get off.
Exactly. I'm ready for that kind of deal, and that sounds like what Paul Molitor is, yeah, all about right now. And I think it's going to be good for us. Fortunately, I think we're still going to lose 100 games. We're going to lose 100 games.
Let's see what kind of run support you guys can get, because that could turn the table.
See, that's the thing though, is I don't think we're going to get it. Or like, if we were going to get it, it wasn't going to be early in the season. It was going to be later on once we started calling guys up. And the exciting part was hopefully having a halfway decent rotation. So I mean, I don't know. If Kennedy, I'm really excited for with the Twins. DH Kenny, I don't know if it's Kennis or Kennis or Kenny, Kennis Vargas. That guy is going to be I think he could be a really good DH someday. Like, I mean, he's already proven that he's got power from both sides of the plate. I think he could be really good. I'm excited for him.
Mm-hmm.
Oswaldo Arcia for the Twins is shown that he's got power too. It's just about a matter of, you know, trying to get him to be consistent and, yeah, not to swing at every first pitch. Like, every single one. It's like, dude, take a pitch. Like, just work the count. Like, that's the other thing young guys do so much in this league now. There's just so much free swinging going on. It sucks.
All right, well, gosh, we've been going for a while, but I want to get to a couple predictions real quick before we get out of here. So, if you haven't gathered up to this point, my man Drew over here is a diehard Twins fan, and of course, I'm a diehard White Sox fan. We play in the same division, the AL Central.
Yup.
So, as far as that as that's concerned, Drew, give me just a 60-second spiel on who takes the AL Central this year.
I think it's going to be Kansas City. I really do. I think Kansas City's going to do it. I think, I don't know, for whatever reason, Sports Illustrated's not showing them any love. They've got them, I think, finishing fourth right in front of the Twins.
Right.
I think 14 games out of first. They've got Cleveland taking it. And I'm not saying, like, AL Central's wide open. It's, as far as I'm concerned, well, it's wide open between four teams. The Twins are not going to be taking it. But as far as I can see, with the offseason the White Sox have had, with the growth and development we've seen out of the Royals, and at the end of the day, the Tigers are still the Tigers even without Max Scherzer.
Yep.
And if Justin Verlander can come back and be Justin Verlander, it's wide open.
Which is not sounding super promising that he's going to come back.
I was
going to
say, it didn't sound
Verlander.
Like he had a great spring.
He did not. No.
So
I'm a little worried about him. I'm a big Justin Verlander fan, as much as I can be.
I just think the Royals' confidence, they're so young and they're so confident right now.
And they saw what they did last year against much, arguably, quote-unquote, better teams.
Well, and they saw what they... When you're young and you make a run like that, you learn what it takes fast. You know what I'm saying? Like, there are clubs that take that. There are young clubs, usually young teams like that, take first-round exits. And it takes them a little bit longer to get it figured out right. How to keep going.
Right.
They didn't need to do that.
Nope.
They didn't. They know what they have to do to win. Which is why I don't... So they got 1 year older. That's only better for them. Why is it they're only going to finish 14? I don't understand why people don't think it's going to be closer. No disrespect to Cleveland, but who did Cleveland go out and grab this year that's going to make them that much better? Did I miss something with you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not...
I know of.
I can't think... And I'm not hating. I love Tito Francona. I think he's a great manager, and I think what he's done in Cleveland's great. And I think Cleveland has a very good chance of playing really good ball and winning. But I just, yeah, I think it's going to be Kansas City. Be honest with you, it wouldn't surprise me. If everything goes according to plan for Chicago, it would not surprise me if Kansas City and Chicago are battling it out down the stretch. But I think it's going to be Kansas City.
I would have to agree with you. I think, and maybe this is just a little bit of my bias, but I think the White Sox are gonna show up this year
sure.
more than people think. I mean, Jose Abreu. I mean,
what can you say, man?
AL Rookie of the Year. Like,
you would think he would only get better, and now that you're protecting him with a guy like LaRoche on either side.
One of my all-time favorite players is Paul Konerko. Like, I grew up watching him. I love that man to death. A consummate professional. Tremendously underrated. One of the all-time great DHs. I love that man. As far as getting a guy to replace him, I don't think there was any better person to get than a guy like Adam LaRoche.
For sure.
Another consummate professional. A guy who had 92 RBIs. 29 homers last year, batted .259. Like, you'd like to see that batting average go up a little bit, but for him being a DH, like, that's good for us. That's good for us to have. I'm as excited as I can be to watch a White Sox season without Pauly Konerko. I'm excited for Adam LaRoche.
I would be too. And
Melky Cabrera.
That's what I'm saying.
Can't sleep on Melky Cabrera.
Well,
either.
And that's the thing is, like, you know, if Jose Abreu can do what he did in a lineup as weak as it was last year and win the AL Rookie of the Year, now you're protecting him with guys like, you can have Adam bat behind him. I'm just spitballing here. You could lead off with Alexi Ramirez if you wanted to or something like that.
I could see that.
Unless you would rather, either way, you could do that, but... In either case, you could have Abreu, LaRoche, Cabrera.
That's a huge three.
You could do LaRoche, Abreu, Cabrera. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? And that's the thing is, I would actually lead with Abreu at the three spot and then clean it up. I would go Cabrera and then LaRoche, and I would do it that way. But in either case, it forces pitchers to have to pitch to Abreu, which means he's going to see the best pitches, which means he's only going to get better. He's only going to learn more. If you get Chris Sale, come back completely healthy. If Samardzija, the key is going to be Samardzija. For the White Sox, I think it's really going to be a matter of...
He's that guy that, like... I'm confident we can win almost any game we need to with Chris Sale, but if Samardzija can't get that second game of a series, that's going to be bad for us.
You just need him to... And you need a guy like that. You just need a guy to eat innings. Like, even if he can't... A guy's not every day going to go out and get you the W. It's just not going to happen
no.
in a 162-game season, but you just like every game if you could just get 6-7 innings out of a guy.
And in that fourth spot, God damn it, we got to have John Danks step up this year.
John Danks. You
gotta have him get back to where he was a few years ago.
Do you think he can? Because I think it's just at this point. Like, you know I'm, what? Where I'm I am gonna... with Danks is where I'm at with, like, I know it's two separate positions, but where I'm at with Danks is where I'm at with Maurer. I think we've seen their best years. I think we have.
I wouldn't be surprised if Danks gets pulled from that starting pitcher rotation before the year's up. Before the halfway point is up. I don't know. I'm hoping Quintana can clean up in that third starting pitcher spot for us. But it's really, at the end of the day, it's going to be about Sale and Samardzija. It's really going to be about those two guys. And if we can get solid performances out of those two guys night in and night out, we've got a chance. But long story short, at the end of the day, I would tend to agree with you. I still think the Royals, with all the confidence coming off of last season, which with essentially the same
core squad, group, like, same I don't understand. Group, I
really think that they've got a shot. They've got another shot at it all.
I just don't understand what it is that people seem to think, like, what happened was not born out of luck. I just don't think it was.
Yeah.
This is what Kansas City had been waiting for a long time. They just didn't know when they were going to get it. Credit to that front office. They got it at the right time. But there were years prior to this, we had been saying so much how good the Kansas City Royals farm system was. We just hadn't seen it yet. And then all of a sudden,
here we are.
Here we are. I just don't. I mean, it again, wide open. I have no problem seeing there's really, I mean, four teams that really could win it. I just think it's going to be the Royals.
Good. All right. Finally, what's your way too early to tell prediction of who wins the entire thing? Who wins that World Series come October of this year?
At this point, I'm going to have to... Got to go with the Nationals. I really have to. I was preaching the no super team thing, but I think at this point, just on paper, it's going to be really, really tough to beat them. If everybody stays healthy, if everything goes according to plan. And I just think with how weak the AL East is right now, like, the Red Sox could show up, but they've just been so spotty, you know? And truth be told, I don't know if Pablo Sandoval is going to be that good for the Red Sox. I really don't. I'm not too sure.
It's funny. I haven't talked to anyone who thinks he's actually going
to
really...
I don't know why. I'm going to be honest with you. There's not really a lot of reason for me to think that. I don't think it's going to pan out.
Well, it's hard to ever, like, pick this early of who's gonna win.
Oh, for sure.
I wanna say the Nationals. I'm worried about the state of their team right now and how many injuries we just have to start the season, especially with Anthony Rendon and Jason Worth being on the 15-day DL to start. I don't think Jason Worth is official, but the consensus is that he's gonna be on the DL for a minute.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's certain teams where you see them play every year, and they're like the Spurs in the NBA. It's like, it's hard to say that there's a team out there that could definitively beat them because they're so consistent.
Yep.
And for me, that's the St. Louis Cardinals.
That's not a bad pick. You know what else I was going to say? Another team that I feel slightly silly saying it, but Padres are going to be kind of tough to beat. San Diego's going to be... I think acquiring Matt Kemp was huge.
Okay.
They've got Will Myers. That was huge. Don't they have Zach Duke playing as a middle reliever? He was really good out of the bullpen.
No, Zach Duke went to...
Or did he go to Chicago?
Yeah, Zach Duke.
Oh, yeah, he went to Chicago.
He went to the White Sox.
Who am I thinking of? They have Will Myers, Matt Kemp. There was two... I felt like there was two other guys they brought in this offseason that was great. Can't remember who it was.
I would be lying if I said I paid that much attention to
But they got this new...
Oh, Justin Upton.
Justin Upton was another one. Yes, absolutely. So, I don't know. I feel like San Diego might be kind of tough.
They acquired a lot of pieces in the offseason. They got James Shields.
Well, I think... What did they... It was a record. Their new GM traded 29 guys in 12 days. Something like that.
Insanity.
That was nuts. That's
insanity.
But that's baseball now. Like, the turnover's quick. If you feel like you can get the right pieces in place with the right mix of guys... It's the money ball effect.
It's true.
Like, that's what you're doing. You're just trying to put the best percentages together to give you the best chance to beat the bank.
My pick right now has to be the Cardinals. I mean,
it's a good
how
pick.
Can you argue with Adam Wainwright? And
I just don't feel like it's going to be anybody out of the American League.
Yeah.
I didn't see, like, kudos to the Royals. I wanted to see them beat the Giants. I didn't think they were going to beat the Giants. I just think National League teams are just they're built more complete right now. They just are. I don't know what it is. Maybe that's just me. I just don't. There's not a team in the American League that I look at that I sit back and I look at and I go, that team's gonna win it all.
I see what you're saying.
You know, like I just. And truth be told, the last couple times I thought we saw teams like that, you know, when the Angels broke their bank and got Hamilton, Pujols, Trout, and then, you know, the Yankees obviously did that in 2014. I just don't see an American League team. There's not one that's jumping out at me that's going to win it all.
Yeah.
I think Sports Illustrated's crazy thinking Cleveland's going
to
win it all.
When you made me guess for a minute to see, like, about what their prediction was, probably I would have guessed 15, 16 teams before I would have said the Cleveland Indians. I was very surprised, but I don't know. That's baseball, man. We'll see what happens. They could be absolutely right. They could be so wrong that Cleveland finishes in the bottom five teams in the entire major league.
Absolutely.
That's just baseball, man, and I for one am extremely excited about it. That's going to do it for us today. Let us know if you like this. This is the first time we really talked baseball. It's something we'd like to do more often. Maybe it's something that if we get good feedback on it, maybe it's something we'll do. Maybe we'll do that, like a baseball podcast once a week, and then we'll do our regular 51-yard line as we always do. But
absolutely.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun, man. Glad we did this.
Absolutely.
Really glad we did this.
And I think... I mean, obviously, you know, even if we don't do just, like, straight-up baseball podcasts going forward, I mean, there will obviously be, like, you know, All-Star Game. There's going to be a
there's
going to be a lot going on in this season moving forward.
There's going to be a lot going on.
So, I'm excited.
As always, you can find us on Facebook.com/The51Yard Line. Follow us on Twitter, @The51Yard Line. We're finishing up our website. That should be up sometime next week. It'll be The51YardLine.com. We'll be posting news and notes and blogs, and it'll be another link you can get more
stuff.
More sports stuff, just in general. You'll hear from all of us, and we'll also have our announcement of who our new fourth host is going to be. So I'm really excited. I know Drew is. I know Steve is.
So.
We're really excited to have this guy as part of our crew. So I didn't want to announce it today because he's not here. I want to announce it when he's on the show. So we will definitely be doing that on Wednesday when we get back to our regularly scheduled programming. So as always, for Drew Willers.
Thanks very much, guys, for listening. Happy Easter. Like, listen, share, give us some feedback.
For Steve Cravens, who is not here, but we obviously got to give him a shout out anyway. Thanks for listening, everybody. I'm Steve Cravens. Blah, 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 blah. Whatever the fuck. Whatever the hell you
would
say.
That was a great Steve.
Thanks, man. I'm Tyler Berry, and we'll see y'all in a few days.